Our readings this morning are interesting and challenging, each in their own way. The first reading is from Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, you know, is the one that has many of the rules and regulations by which Judaism continues to exist. But this particular scene finds Moses in the mountain. He's on the mountaintop overlooking the new promised land, and they can see the promised land out in the distance. And Moses knows that he is not going to be with them in the promised land. This, by the way, is a scene that Martin Luther King drew on when he gave that very famous speech, that I've been to the mountain and I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but this is where God would have you be. And so Moses is really saying goodbye to the people of Israel, whom he has led for all these 40 years wandering in the desert. And finally, standing up there, looking over, he says this to them. And this really is probably the best piece of wisdom that comes out of Scripture. And certainly Jesus capitalizes on it as well. This from chapter 30. Moses says to his people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death or adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in God's way, and observing his commandments and decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and prosper. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." The word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. And you remember that the Sermon on the Mount we have cast into the light not of the kingdom, of God's kingdom coming, but of God's world as it exists. And you remember the rewriting of the first beatitude, which we have always read as, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God." We word it, "Blessed are you who have the spirit of the poor, for you live in God's world." And with that in mind, Jesus continues in the Sermon on the Mount now to address the ethics of this new kingdom, of this new world, so that if you live in God's world, these are things that must happen. And he contrasts the laws of the time, which the Pharisees and the scribes have held sacred all these years and that have formed the backbone of fidelity in Judaism, and he rewrites it to say something altogether different. This from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. "You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to the judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. And go first be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, You will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said in the past, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, isn't that uplifting? The reason it is there in the gospel, I believe, is because basically Jesus is taking, we have to go back to remember this, Jesus is coming up in a very, very Jewish orient. He's a Jew, and he lives in a Jewish community. And Judaism up to the time of Jesus was very, very much surrounding the temple. And the people who ran the temple were the ones who ran everybody's lives because they held in their faith that God came to them in the temple, and those who represented God in the temple were the ones who were best able to tell them how they were going to maintain a relationship with God. And that came down to people who interpreted the laws, no different from any other church. If you have a theology and you have an expectation of your congregation, there's going to be rules and regulations that come down from someplace to you. Unfortunately, over the centuries, over the generations, millions of generations of human beings, that little path has taken many, many, many turns. And so relegated to those people is life and death, salvation, basically. You're either going to make it or you're not. And I grew up in a world where you either made it by doing everything the church told you to do, or you knew you were going to hell because you weren't doing what the church said you were supposed to do because they represented God. Jesus cuts through all of that. And basically what he is saying to the people who are very, very Pharisaically oriented because that was the way it was in their time. You may have heard it said this way in the past, and you may have gotten away with knowing salvation that way. But I'm telling you, it's much easier in some ways, yet more challenging to live as God would have you live. Jesus is here presenting what it is like to live in God's world. And so the first thing we hear in this whole thing about anger, he's not saying you can't get angry, but look at what he does say. Where before it was murderous to kill someone, it is just as murderous to slander someone or to hold them somehow responsible for things that have gone on and never let it go. Of never being able to forgive, that is just as bad as murder. What Jesus is saying is not that we are going to be judged as murderers, but we need, in the kingdom of God's word, to become ever more sensitive to the many, many, many ways that we do have power in other people's lives. And sometimes what we do or say can be murderous. I told you the story, I think, once before of a young man that went to confession in the Catholic tradition. And he had done something he thought was pretty evil. But one of the things he said, that it's not quite so evil, he said, I committed the venial sin of talking unkindly about someone. And the priest said, well, all those other things that were very, very important pale in significance to the one about talking unkindly about someone. And so for your penance, I want you to take your feather pillow and go up on the top of the town hill on a windy day and cut the pillow open and shake it out until every feather has flown away. And when you have finished that, I want you to go back and collect all the feathers again. And the young man said, well, that's impossible. And he said, that's how impossible it is to ever stop the pain or the hurt or the destructive things that can be said with one unkind word. That's what Jesus was getting at. If you read the words, you might miss that. In God's world, that becomes primary, our relationships with one another. And the one about marriage, you know, adultery, and the one about divorce, we can look at the words, and these words have been used many, many times, and if these words are true, then Louise and I are going to hell, so we might just as well give up. There'll be a lot of us.
We'll all meet there.
Yes, we'll have a great party. Now, the reality behind it, you see, in those days, if a man divorced a woman, and you notice a woman can't divorce a man. Only a man can divorce a woman. This is that culture. Now, we certainly aren't in that culture anymore, are we? So we'd have to adapt these words. What Jesus was really indicating and underscoring is the fact that women in that time, their ability to survive rested totally on the man to whom they were connected. Women had no status in that culture except to bear children. They had no rights. In fact, if you went to the temple, and if you look at the drawings of the old temple of Herod, which was the crowning jewel of Judaism, the court for the women is all the way in the back close to the animals. And that's the only place they were allowed to come when they came to the court, the temple. But besides becoming destitute, women also were responsible for the children, not the fathers. And so women who had children were even much more at risk in trying to survive not only for themselves, but finding a way to survive for their children. And Jesus is saying, now you may have seen it in the past that you could do these kinds of things. You could put women at risk. You could dehumanize them and make them objects of lust if you chose to do that. In God's world, that will never be. Because everyone created by God is equally loved. Whether they are good people or bad people, Jesus will say later on, God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust, on the good and the bad. In God's world, that kind of power must never be, will never be, because all of us, women and children, as well as men, are equally loved and have a right to God's justice. And the last one, about swearing, making vows. In God's world, there's no need for making vows because our life is a vow. Moses said to the people of Israel, I'm giving you a choice. After all this journey, we have traveled so far, we have been through so many things, and prior to this particular passage, he reviews freedom from slavery and all the things that have happened in the desert that make up their story, that brings them to deeper faith and even greater doubt. But they have been saved over and over and over again. And so Moses says, I'm not going to be here anymore. You're going to be on your own. And so, in the name of God, I'm giving you the final choices. You have to choose between life and death. The promised land is not going to be some kind of a wonderland where nothing is ever going to happen again that will challenge you. God's world is a real world. And in God's world, just as in our real world, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be decisions that we make. There are going to be all kinds of things that will bring us to question, to doubt, and even to sometimes despair. But the bottom line is, we have a choice to make between life and death, between blessing and curses. And if we so choose to live according to life, then all the decisions we make, all the choices we make, all the things that we do must somehow reflect that choice. If indeed God's world is ever to be realized, not as a pipe dream and not as an eternal heaven, but as the reality that Jesus came to reveal that it is right here, right now, if I choose life, then all my other choices and all of my other behaviors in the ethic of God's world must somehow reflect that choice. And so what Jesus is laying down here is no more encouragement just to do what the church tells you to do. Because if we're going to live in God's world, that is, if we are going to live in a relationship with God, not as someone out there, but someone right here around us, within us, then our choices are limited and yet limitless. And everything becomes an expression of what we truly choose. Is it life or is it death? And if you say yes, then mean yes. And if you say no, then mean no. But later on in the scriptures, through the prophet, God will say, be either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm, because lukewarm I will spit out of my mouth. It's a heavy message, I know. And yet, look at the great freedom and progress we have made from the time of the Pharisees, and how much more it really does come down to us, and not somehow a God out there demanding and we trying to figure out how to get there to prove that we care. We have each other. We can make it happen. And so we pray to choose life in every moment of our days. It's just a Sunday morning thought. Amen.